Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 89, Who Will Carry the Water? Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message in the Relationship Series on August 18th, 2019.
Okay, this morning I want to continue. Our theme for this last month has been on relationships, and today I want to talk about especially your relationship with God, because everything that we do, everything that we have emanates out of that. I'm going to start with a video by a group. I've forgotten the name of the group. I'm sorry. But it's called Carry the Water. So, carry the water. The Urban Dictionary says that phrase actually means to take on the primary responsibility to ensure that something is accomplished usually even though it may be somebody else's job. So in the area of relationships, whose responsibility is it to carry the water? In the Bible, Jesus called this concept serving. If you go to the book of Matthew, the 20th chapter, the 20th verse, we have a story about Jesus and his disciples. You know, I really love Jesus and his disciple-making because he's the master of relationships. He's the master of discipling. And if we really want to know how to disciple people, we need to look to him. In verse 20, Matthew chapter 20, it says, the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in the places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right hand or on my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. Now we get to the relationship part. When the other 10 disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. In other words, there's strife in the church. But Jesus called them together and said, you know what the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and their officials flaunt their authority over those under them, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the point of that is Jesus said, among you it's going to be different. So if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, he says it will be different. He didn't say it might be different or it could be different. He said it will be different. And then he points out that if we're going to follow him, we have to be like him. And he said even the Son of Man didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So in the Bible, Jesus said that we should pray for laborers or workers to come into the harvest field. But if they aren't listening, who's going to carry the water? If somebody needs help, but the helpers are just praying, who will carry the water? If Jesus is calling you to serve, but you're too busy, who will carry the water? It may be somebody else's job, but if it's not finished or it's not happening, who will carry the water? In the Old Testament, when Isaiah heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? Isaiah said, here I am, send me. In other words, here I am, I'll carry the water. So let's take a look a little closer at the New Testament concept of serving and see if we can make some sense out of how we can be at that place of giving our hearts to God and having such a relationship with him that we can serve and be the ones who carry the water. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting with the first verse, Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians to encourage them to be engaged in giving in this particular case. But the reality is that this story really has greater implications than just about how you give and about money and about material things. So let's read it from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. It says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. Verse 3, for I can testify that they gave not only of what they could afford, but far more. They did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They did even more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Or some translations say, according to God's will. So, in this story, Paul was making an appeal for people to help, just like these others that he observed had done an over-the-top job of sowing, of giving, of bringing aid to those believers in Jerusalem who were experiencing famine. Now, that's an area of material giving, but the reality is it's a model of serving, because Paul could have asked them to do lots of other things, but this was the particular need at the moment. And they didn't say, well, I'm not called to do that. I'm not in the ministry of giving. You know, I'll wait till something comes along that's more like my music ministry, or more like my Sunday school teaching, or more like my whatever. You can name lots of things that you could call your ministry. You might be waiting for that to come along because somebody else's job is to do the giving, or somebody else's job is to be involved in this area. So the implications of this story are greater. In the Amplified Version, verse 5 says it this way. It says, nor was this gift merely the contribution that we expected, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us as his agents by the will of God, entirely disregarding their personal interests. They gave as much as they possibly could, having put themselves at our disposal to be directed by the will of God. So here we come to the concept of, you need to respond to the heart of God because his will needs to be carried out. I need to respond to the will of God because his will needs to be carried out. And so it's really important that we find out what the will of God is in any matter. But the reality is when things need to be done for the kingdom, God's looking for people to carry the water, not for people to look around and wait for someone else to do the work. So, although this was his motivational appeal to inspire giving, it has many, many applications in the Christian life. So, point one is that they first gave themselves to the Lord. That was the first part of it. If you want to be a servant of Jesus, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, the first requirement is to give yourself to the Lord. That's your primary kingdom relationship. And out of that powerful relationship came life change. These people came from a heathen background. These people used to worship idols. These people used to be involved in all kinds of things that were ungodly. But now Jesus had come into their life, and they had an amazing, amazing life change. It transformed everything, including how they thought about things and how they responded to the needs of other people. They gave themselves first to the Lord. And out of that life-changing relationship, they were able to do things that other churches had not done. They were also filled with abundant joy, because out of that relationship, they became cheerful givers. They became ready to do it givers. They didn't wait around for others to do the job. They stepped in and said, let us do it. Paul says they begged us to take this offering. In other words, he's saying, I didn't really want to take the offering because I knew about their poverty. I didn't really want to take the offering because I knew about their needs. I didn't really want to receive this from them because I know other people should have stepped up to the plate to do it. But they begged us. They said, please, let us do this. I'm reminding of a story that my pastor told me years ago. There was a lady that got saved in the Philippines during the big revival that they had in the 50s there. And she came to his church, In 1 week, she gave her whole, she gave her whole paycheck to the into the offering. So he said to his secretary, you know, she really doesn't need to give her whole paycheck. She should just give her tithe. So go talk to her and give her her paycheck back and say, and just explain it to her. So the secretary went and explained this to this lady. You don't have to give everything, you know, just give your tithe. And the lady said, but I want to give the whole thing. So she came back with a check and they accepted the check. So the next week, she did the same thing. She put her whole paycheck in the offering. And so this time he called her into his office and he said, lady, I know I sent my secretary to talk to you about this. Maybe you didn't understand what she said, but you don't have to give your whole thing. Just 10% is, you know, is the tithe. That's what God expects you to give. You don't have to give this. And she said, but I want to give the whole thing. And so he argued with her a little bit, and then she started crying. And she said, Pastor, won't God accept my gift if I give the whole thing? So he said, I accepted the gift and whatever. So I said, but don't do it again. So the next week, they came, they looked at the offering. This lady put her whole paycheck in the offering again. So this time, you know, I just need to be stern with this lady because I know she has a family. I know that she needs this money. I know that she can't afford to give this much. I'm going to make her take this check back. So he called her in and he was really rough with her. And she started crying again. And she said, but Pastor, you don't understand. You know, these last weeks when I've been putting my whole paycheck in the offering, I have been more blessed than any time in my whole life. And then she started to recount the number of miracles that had happened to her and her family after she started putting her whole paycheck in the offering. And the amazing way that God had provided for them and had taken care of all of their needs and given them supply over and above what they had anticipated and expected. She said, I wouldn't be able to buy any of that with this check. Won't you please let me give what I want to give? And so he said, after that, I just left this woman alone because God was blessing her and God was prospering her. So that's the kind of thing we see in this story here, that these people were so filled with abundant joy that they couldn't keep back for themselves, even if they were in poverty, even if they were in need. And then finally, they just overflowed in rich generosity. When they were informed of the opportunity, they responded. They didn't wait to pray about it. They didn't wait to do this or that. They didn't wait to see if something would come in to help them. Over and above what they gave, they just responded and they gave. They gave them first to themselves, first to the Lord, and then to the ministry. So the second part of that was is they committed themselves to leadership, which is their secondary kingdom relationship. So God places leadership in church, in the church body, in the ministry, so that people have someone to follow. I don't know why he did it that way, but he's God, right? And if you look from the Old Testament to the New, you can see that people who followed leadership and invested in kingdom opportunity were blessed people because God restored them, God blessed them, and God raised them up. They not only, these people, not only gave what they could afford, but the Bible says they gave far more. So they decided that following leadership would be a greater blessing to them than keeping for themselves. And then it says they did it out of their own free will. In other words, nobody was pushing them. Nobody was pressing them. Nobody was compelling them to give. They just did it out of their own free will. They were touched in their hearts, and they gave freely out of their own will. And they did even more than leadership had hoped or expected. So this shows that when their first relationship is filled, their primary relationship to God, giving themselves first to God, and then giving themselves to the leadership that he provided, that They counted that as a greater blessing than keeping something for themselves. This has applications beyond giving material things. This is talking about our time. It's talking about our talents. It's talking about our skills. It's talking about the opportunities that we have to minister into the lives of people. God is calling us to serve, not to be in charge. Number three, they were directed by the will of God, the Bible says, which was their primary kingdom motivation. The will of God was more important to them than their own needs. The will of God was more important to them than what other people thought. They didn't know that they would be used as an example to other churches, to other ministries, of how people should respond when leadership asked people to fill a need. They were entirely disregarding their personal interests, the Bible says. But instead, they looked for the will of God. They stretched beyond their own ability. They put their trust in God, not in themselves. So one of the ways that you can find out what that will is look at the cell lesson list on the back of the bulletin, because what we're studying now is how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. If you have any questions about what God's will is, one of the ways to find out is to seek it, to find it, and to follow it. So God is calling us to carry the water. The question is, who's going to carry the water? Are we going to be like Isaiah and respond when he says, "Who will I send?" and say, "Here am I, send me." Or when God says, "Who will do this?" can I say, "I will, I'll carry the water"? When we notice things need to be done that are undone, are we willing to step up and carry the water? When we see things that are unfinished, are we willing to step up and carry the water? What is God speaking to us as our responsibility? So I want to challenge you today, not only just pray about what God's will is for you, but step up to the plate, look around, and see the opportunity. You know what Jesus said to the disciples about the harvest? He said, "Look around you. The fields are white unto harvest." So if we look around our city, we can see that the fields are ripe unto harvest. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people all around us who are never in church, never in a place of worship, never seeking God about his will for their lives. When we go out in the streets and talk to them, we discover that many of them are really unsure that they're of their salvation, even when they've been raised in Christian families, because they say things like, well, we ask them sometimes, if you put it on a scale of 1 to 100, where would you be in your certainty of going to heaven when you die? And most of them, many of them say, well, maybe 50%. 50% is not really good, especially when you can have assurance of salvation. So anyway, where are we today? We're at a place where we can carry the water, or we can let it up to somebody else to do. We can wait for somebody else to take the job. We can wait for somebody else to fill the responsibility. But I believe God is challenging us today to do greater, to step it up a notch, to check our commitment levels, and to say, where am I in this picture? What do I need to do? How do I need to respond to God's call in my life? What is he asking me to do? Am I too busy to ask what he is wanting me to do? Am I too busy for his will? Am I too committed to other things to carry out his will? What is his plan and his purpose for me? And then begin to step into his will and be guided by the Holy Spirit and do it. This is not about saying yes to everything that comes along. This is not being a people pleaser or a yes person. This is not about being unreasonable. But when God has a call on you, you need to respond, because his way is the best way. His way is the greatest way, and his way will bring you into a place of having purpose. And like these people, you'll find a place of great joy in serving God, because that's his plan and his purpose for you. So we're going to take a few minutes to look at the scripture that's in your bulletin. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You'll get a chance to discuss it with each other, find some observations, and then make an application and pray for each other. So we're going to give you a few minutes to do that. Those of you who are listening on podcast, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back, and then we'll finish this message. God bless you. So I recommend don't make him chase you down. Just jump up and run to him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, I want to close this message with a couple of scriptures. Hebrews chapter 13 says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, for they are accountable to God. Give them a reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. You know, really the healthiest people in church, the healthiest people spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, are those who are serving others. So God's not trying to get stuff away from you. He's trying to get things to you, but you have to cooperate with his plan and with his purpose in your life. And that's what finding and following and fulfilling the will of God is about, really, is to find that place and to find that purpose in your life and to plug into that place. And then he'll help you to sort out the details, like the busy things in life, the things that keep you stressed out or stressed in or whatever those things are that interfere with your life with God. Without his help, none of us would be able to sort out any of that. And all of us would be under tremendous pressure. You know, the world isn't designed to get you ahead. It's designed to crush you because it's corrupted. It's corrupted by sin. It's corrupted by sinful nature of people and by leaders and others that are not godly. But the Word of God says that those who serve their God will do great exploits for him. But you have to step into the picture and be engaged about it and to understand that your destiny is different than the destiny of the world around you. You have to understand that your purpose and God's plan for you is different than those that are living around you. So you're sent out to be the answer to the solution to their issues, their problems, their troubles, their sorrows, and to help them to be able to take steps that will bring blessing into their lives. But to do that, you need to be engaged. You need to say, here am I, send me, and to look around and to see with different kind of eyes. When Jesus said, look, the harvest is white around you, what he is saying is that if you don't open your eyes and see through God's eyes the way things are, then you won't be able to discern the path to take for yourself and the path that you need to help others get on. So I want to just encourage you, you know, maybe this is a little bit of a challenging message. Maybe you feel condemned, but it's not about feeling condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's about just reexamining, where am I in this picture, and saying, where do I need to be if I'm not at the place where God wants me to be? How do I need to make these changes? You know, the greatest thing is to seek God in prayer on the things that need to change in order for you to do what God has called you to do. If that means he needs to bring you a new job or a different job or more pay or all those kind of things, you know, he's got plenty. He's not short on anything. There's no reason for you to be miserable in the job you are, because God has one for you where you're not miserable. Where you can fulfill his will and bring his plan and his purpose into that workplace and serve him in a place that's a blessing to you and a blessing to those around you. So if you're not in that place, you just need to be asking him. You don't need to jump out of that place and say, well, this is not the place for me. But you need to seek him and find how he can help you in that situation. I was just talking to Santos about being bold. You know, we were discussing some of those issues because, you know, the reality is if your employer could work you 7 days a week, you know, 24 hours a day, they would do it till you drop dead. Because it's all about production, it's all about numbers, it's all about, output, how much can we bring into this company, et cetera. It's about my boss's, bonus this week, you know. But that's the way the world is. If you understand that, you can challenge that. You can stand up and be bold for God and say, you know, that's maybe how you have to live, but that's not how I have to live, because I don't need to be here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm willing to work hard. I'm willing to produce well. I'm willing to be the best worker in the workplace, but I don't need to be the one who you're working to the bone in order to achieve some kind of production score, you know, so that the company can get ahead. I'm all for the company. I believe God that will bless the company because I'm here, but God doesn't require of me to give my soul to this company. My allegiance is to Him. And so sometimes you need to be bold about those things. You need to seek God about how to say those things to supervisors, to people in charge, to management people, and so forth and so on. But you don't have to lie down and be anybody's doormat, because God has created you to be who He's created you to be and to fulfill the role that He's created you for. And you need to have your health. You need to have, you know, your mental well-being. You need to have your perspective. And you need to serve God above everything. So I know those things are challenging, and sometimes it's not easy to confront those kind of things in the workplace, but God will help you, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can really see positive, powerful change come into whole companies as a result of you standing up for what's godly and what's right. So I just want to encourage you in those things. If you need prayer in those areas, we're here to pray with you and believe God with you. There's great power in prayer. God has done miracles for people in the workplace because we've prayed, and we're going to see more and more of those kind of things happen. In the book of Mark, the 12th chapter, 28th verse, it says, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, 'What is the first commandment of all?' Jesus answered him, 'The first commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these.'" So your first allegiance is to God. The second allegiance is to love your neighbor. And when you do those things, the Bible says that's fulfillment of all the law, all the laws and commandments that God has given. So our purpose needs to be driven out of that concept of putting God first and then loving others around us in an amazing way. Amen? Praise the Lord. So thank you for bearing with me in this message. It's a little bit of a tough message to give, but we all need to be challenged to step it up a notch, to step into the place that God has called us to, and to find places where God can use us in amazing ways to change the world that's around us. The Bible says of the early Christians that those people who turned the whole world upside down, they came here too. So they're in Fort Wayne now, so because you're here. So we're going to turn the world upside down from this place in Jesus' name. Amen? So God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the power of Jesus' name, and thank you for the authority of your word. I ask you, Father, to raise up this people in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to accomplish awesome things for your kingdom. As they seek first the kingdom of God, we're asking you and holding you to your word that you said that if they would seek you and your righteousness, that you would, all the other things, Lord, would be added to them. And those are the things, Father, that the world clamors after. We know that's what your scripture had said and described in the verses preceding. So, Lord, we believe that for them, Lord, that all those things that they need are added. Father, all the things, Father, the wants, the desires, the things that they've laid before you, all those things will be added to them in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.